Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Zion Branch Broadcast. Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date, December 19th, 2019.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, you can call Dan Sell at 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
What about the text thing?
Yeah, you can send him a text because he won't answer it unless he knows who's calling. There's too many robocalls.
Yeah, and I just got a call today just right as I went up to the store real quick, not to burden everybody with it, but I got a call that says, "You're under federal investigation," this and you know, so I rarely even.
Yeah, I got one yesterday that said, this is the federal government. We have a report that your Social Security number has been stolen. Please call this 800 number immediately, please.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, folks, so text me first, and then I will answer your phone, or I'll just call you back. But you can always find updates where at, Mother?
At prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. There's church radio program archives, contact information, and all the other stuff is over there at prophecyhour.com.
Yeah, remember, what are we? We are what?
We're a national satellite radio program. Not rodeo, radio.
Yeah.
And it's simulcast live on the net, internationally, on YouTube, and on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime because
okay.
It is not free.
All right. Okay.
And let's thank our listener base. It's worldwide in places like Montreal, Quebec,
just Canada.
Okay,
Montreal,
Canada. Mumbai, India, Chihuahua, Mexico. Yeah, I had to think of Jesse to figure that out. Chihuahua, Mexico, London, UK. And, of course, the cities of the good old USA, such as Arlington, Texas, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Greensboro, North Carolina, and this week, Wichita, Kansas is the largest group of listeners that listen when it podcasts later tonight.
I hate that word podcast because the radio program archives, I did them way before. I did them way, way, way before they even called them podcasts. And so... Anyway, I'm not sure if he's got this yet. Moving right along, follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I just pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please just bless the people and give them ears in which to hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, I'm hoping that we have a song here lined up.
You sent it three times. You didn't get it.
Any one of them. I sent it to him three times, so he asked me which one. So, nine. It's number nine. That means it's coming on. Anyway, folks, I hope this song blesses you.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17, 26.
Then the days of Noah keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought. Forgetting about the flood, in anger he once fought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to buy. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever damned.
It's definitely like As in the Days of Noah. If you don't believe it, let's start off with this. And this ought to set my wife just right on over the brink. Okay, what are your thoughts about what we've been hearing, which, you know, about Netflix and their wonderful new program they're coming out with?
No, I think it ought to be boycotted.
What are we talking about?
They've got a movie out just in time for December 25th that depicts Yeshua as a gay Jesus.
Say it out loud.
A gay, he's gay.
Yeah, it depicts a gay Jesus. They have to be told that, and that's what we're trying to do, is tell them what's going on.
And Christians are leaving Netflix left and right.
Yeah, as they should, as they should. But that isn't wrong. And it's a brainwashing tactic. You know how brainwashing works. Brainwashing is different than trying to beat you with something and trying to beat you with something and forcing something down your throat. That isn't how you do it. It's like the old cliche about the frog. You put him in cold water and slowly turn up the fire until he burns himself to death. That's how brainwashing is. They slowly send you things more and more and more. It's just like the gay agenda with all putting all this stuff in front of the kids, you know.
My mom always told us, seeing is believing. So when you see something, you believe it. So by putting that on the TV, the little kids and I don't know how many people are going to believe that garbage.
Yeah, and that's the point. And they do it slowly, subtly, but it's recognizable. They change. That's how they change you, by slowly doing it. And they've been slowly doing it for a long time. But now Netflix, anyway, Obama, they've had some good programs. But the really good ones are all taken off, and those, and to replace them with others. But you know, so you know who works for them, right?
Obama.
Yeah, he says he is on their board.
Right, and all
wife.
The good Christian actors and stuff were getting fired and taken off, and all the Obama followers are, yeah.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and that's the point. It's just like in practically any movie, like the new Star Wars movie that just come out, hit the box office. They get the first Star Wars gay kiss in it, and they're advertising it all over the place. Yeah, they had two girls kissing. But that was always a kind of an abomination. Star Wars was always kind of an abomination anyway, because they showed humans interacting with, you know, having sex with aliens and stuff. And
yeah.
And so it was already, and that's what somebody pointed out. They said, well, what's new about that? Because they've already been having sex with other species. And,
right.
And so, but that's the point. You know, it's just slowly, all this is slowly brainwashing. There are some Christian movies that come out and everything, but folks, you really got to be careful what you watch. And also, you've got to be careful with, you know, what you allow your children or grandchildren to watch.
Yeah. And where they research for their information, because a lot of information you search on the Internet is false information. Even in encyclopedias and stuff have lies in them.
Right, but the best place to go is I'm all about looking. That's why I, at the Mission Church, I know you if you try and look up something, it'll contradict what a concordance will say a lot of the times. The concordance, and old concordance is the best place to look up your Bible stuff, as is old books. I'm a book guy. They change the books. In fact, I know they even, the newer versions of the concordance have been changed, because I had a real old one that I used for years, and then I got somebody gave me a brand new one, then I ended up with two brand new ones, but then I went, oh, okay, great. So I gave my old one away, and this is a few years back, and I opened this new one, and it just wasn't the same. It had changed some critical things in it, and so I had to research and get sent
to find the truth. Nowadays, to find the truth, you really have to dig deep to find it, because there's so many lies out there. I was trying to witness to somebody the other day about Christmas not being Yeshua's birthday. I said, it's simple. Just look it up. Well, you look it up on the Internet, and everything says December 25th is his birthday. I had to go clear to Britannica Encyclopedia to show them that they celebrated Christmas before Yeshua was ever even born, and it wasn't even called Christmas. It was called Yule. It was a pagan celebration. And then Constantine changed it to Christianity to deceive the Christians, and they're still being deceived today.
Well, actually, let's go with this about Christmas, and I'm not going to get into a rant about bugging people about Christmas, but it is the truth. But let's go with this, though. It wasn't just Yule. Christmas is a combination of about at least five or six different December 25th
celebrations
that are molded into one, and one of those was the birth of the sun god. And the reason of that date, the second, the reason of that date is because it's the winter solstice, and the winter solstice means it's the shortest day of the year is the 24th, and so the 25th means is the next day when the days start getting longer again, and so therefore that was the rebirth of the sun. See,
right.
So that's the birthday of the sun god.
Right.
And that's what it was changed. And if you go into, like I was telling the folks at church the other day, if you go to the Catholic encyclopedia, but their old catechisms, it will tell you that. And they changed it because of what the Catholic Church did, they just changed the name of things so it would be easier, they said, to, you know, save the pagan people, so they didn't have to change the days, they just changed the name. But anyway, this isn't all about that. Back to Netflix. And so Netflix, beyond that and all the other crazy programs, people are talking about, they have this new program on there, and it's called The Messiah. And it's like, it's supposed, they're pegging it like Messiah, you know, Jesus returning, but only what would be like if he came in a modern society instead of 2,000 years ago. So that's what they want you to believe. But when you get into it, and some people have looked at the trailer and looked into it, actually, What it is, and I got something for you in a minute, but what it is, it's a, the Islamic Antichrist is called the Mahdi, and this this program, people were warning, they say that this guy, this Messiah, it's not like Yeshua, but it's like, it will get you into the acceptance of the Muslim Mahdi, Mahdi. And the Mahdi is there, is the Antichrist. That is the Antichrist. I referenced Joel Richardson and others that have written, Joel wrote the Islamic Antichrist, Middle East Beast, and other things. The Antichrist will be a Muslim. And everything about the Muslim Mahdi, which is their savior, you know, they've got a savior just like us, is, correlates with the Antichrist, you know. And so their savior is the Antichrist. Point being, this movie will point you into that to get you into acceptance, because some of the same traits of this Messiah are the same kind of traits as this Mahdi, and not like Yeshua. So should you watch it?
No!
Why not?
Because it's brainwashing you.
To what?
To believe it.
To
accept Mahdi.
Well, right, and that's what they don't know. So when Mahdi comes back, then the people would be open to accepting the Antichrist. And so there's the point. It will open you to accepting the Antichrist. Folks, you need Netflix, and it's like this, people say, may say, well, I can watch Netflix because they got some good stuff on there. And predominantly, yeah, I used some of the series, not series, but some of the things at the Mission Church to play so off and on for the people, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm making my stand today. I am officially done with Netflix. I'm not going to show it to them again, period, because it's like this. If you still watch it, you're still paying them an amount of money, and you're giving them money that they need to produce these movies.
Right. If everybody just cancels out Netflix, put them out of business, they can't air nothing.
Well, right, and they may change their tune. And then Obama can't get paid. Because Obama and his old lady, they get millions of dollars a year for being on this board of Netflix. And so, and they get a brainwash. So we wasn't done with Obama. And so there it is. I mean, but you got to really, beyond Netflix, you got to really carefully look at all your programming, because it's everywhere. They're more blatant than others, but you got to be careful what you watch and what you, to your children. Especially in this day and age, that's absolutely like it is in the days of Noah, you know, just like the song said.
I don't know how bad it was in the days of Noah, but it's pretty bad in 2019 and Earth.
Well, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, you can't, half the time when these people come into the Mission Church, now, and I won't say half the time, that's an exaggeration, but I mean, all the time I see new people come in and I go, okay, are they a girl or are they a guy?
Oh, I know,
dressed
right?
As a girl. And, you know, and I'm always like this. And I can, you know how I can expose those people sometimes?
Well, there's one that comes that really looks like a woman until she talks.
Yeah. But what I do is I say, ladies first, because I always give this stuff out to ladies first, and you can hear them grimace. The ones that grimace, they go back a line. Yeah. And, you know, but point is, and it, now that I said that, I'll be tested again on it. But yeah, we at the Mission Church, we are old fashioned. We still serve ladies first and so on and so forth, and you know, it's always been
well, if there are children, it's children and then ladies, but we don't really have that many children for dinner. When kids come in, they get sandwiches and leave.
Well, we used to have off and on, there was a mother that brought her children in. Remember that?
Yeah.
That Spanish or Mexican, whatever she was,
she did.
Woman.
And the grandma came, she brought them once, but then she just got them for them after that.
Oh, that was a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a different shoe.
And then the one guy that had the disabled son, he used to bring them three boys in all the time. And then I don't know, I guess he must have got a better job or something.
Or moved out of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
A lot of these people that we're talking about actually lived in a neighborhood. They're not exactly.
Well, I don't think he did. He lived clover off of Harry and Pawnee, because he asked for a ride one time and I was too busy to give him a ride. And I think Craig took him.
Really? Yeah. Well, but that's the point. People do come from all over, but we service a lot of people in the neighborhood. We really do. And then a lot of people that have been through when they were homeless come back.
Yeah.
And right now we are being really blessed by a guy that used to be homeless and coming in and eating our egg sandwiches and bringing us food. And so that's a real blessing. And so anyway, you know, Hanukkah starts what, Sunday night, right?
Sunday at dark.
So yeah, and it goes for 8 days, folks. So remember that also. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, think of something to fill up about it. We got about a minute before break. Mm. Yeah. Anything at all to say? And every time I ask you this, you always go,
It's cold outside.
It's cold outside. Speaking of cold outside, we just got a big donation in today for heavy-duty winter gloves for the people.
Yay.
And for heavy-duty winter socks. And we've already got a lot of stocking hats, so we'll weigh that one out. But we've got a lot.
Never get enough socks, though.
No, never get enough socks, especially the heavy. These are the heavy.
We've had a couple
socks.
Hundred come in the last 2 weeks, and they're almost gone already. There's only like four packs left.
Well,
I think, today.
That's because as soon as I open up, I just I've been going just out and giving everybody a pair of socks.
Yeah,
and then,
especially with it wet like this.
Right, and when I give out the hygiene stuff, I throw a pair in them because they come in. Like the other day, they were saying, "Pastor Dan, my feet are all wet." I
pair
actually
socks.
Had socks to give them. And I'll tell you what we do need donations of. I'm starting to go through the medication now.
Oh, yeah.
I need to get some more cold tablets and everything because people have been...
Allergy medicine, cold medicine.
All clogged up. Well, when they ask for allergy medicine and you ask them and question them, and you'll find out that it's actually a cold. And but they, what it is, they want to be unclogged because they're all clogged up. And I've seen that symptom more than anything else so far anyway. In the flu that's going around, it seems to be upper respiratory. But we'll see. We see all kinds of things. Pray for us. But folks, go over and check us out at prophecyhour.com, and we'll come back and talk some more in about 3 minutes or four.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Fire on the mountain, Moses went to see. The bush was burning with the flame by the power of God's glory, standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. Take his sandals off as he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. He was standing. Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, but they had their sandals off and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down. They were standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, he come with sword and shield. But I am the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, but he was standing on holy ground. Holy ground, holy ground, they were standing on holy ground. Are you standing on holy ground?
When confronted with the undeniable fact as to pagan practices having been labeled Christian, many people recognizing the truth make the statement, "But that is not what it means to me." The truth is that what it means to us makes no difference. The real question is, what does it mean to God? A good example of a similar situation which should serve as an example to us can be found in Exodus 32. At Mount Sinai, the people, fearful of what might have happened to Moses, broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. We are told that he took the gold, melted it, and made a golden calf. Not only that, but an altar was built and proclamation was made, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." The scriptures say that the people rose up early the next day, made offerings, and sat down to eat and to drink. The Lord said that the people, by proclaiming these pagan practices to be in His honor, had corrupted themselves and had turned away from the commandments which He had given them. These abominable practices had angered the Lord to the extent that He spoke to Moses, saying, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them." It is important to consider that the golden calf in the wilderness represented the Egyptian cow and bull gods, Hathor and Apis, and that the cow goddess Hathor was associated by the Greeks with Aphrodite or present-day Easter. No, what things mean to us makes no difference. Our only concern should be, what does it mean to our Creator? I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Absolutely. Well, okay, I want to finish up with some of the strange stuff that was going on, that's going on, and then I got something special I want to do. Anyway, right now, you watched that the other day. You caught me on YouTube a couple of times recently watching some of these UFO programs. That pretty amazing. What are your general thought about it?
I believe them. They're real. There's a spirit world. There's UFOs. There's people on Mars. I believe all that.
Well, the point is it, the sightings, there's mass. They're more massive than they want you to believe, right? Did you get?
Oh yeah. There's so many cover-ups you don't even want to imagine it.
Right, and really, it's astounding how many, and folks, if you want to see it, you go watch a program. It's called Hangar One, and I guarantee it'll change your mind. Because
oh, there was one stuck in my head that you was watching the other night. It was about an alien crash. It was in a little town, and a UFO crashed, and the alien was still in the UFO. So the people of the little town had a funeral for the alien, and they buried the funeral, and they put a headstone on it that just had a picture of the aircraft on it. Well, a while later, I don't know, years, months, whatever, but a while later down the road, they wanted to exhume the body, and as soon as they said they wanted to exhume the body, that night, the whole grave and everything disappeared. There's
okay,
no trace
what
of anything.
What happened was they went back out and the body was exhumed the next day.
Yeah,
they told
and
them
the headstone and everything was gone.
Right, and actually it was an 18-something that the crash happened, and the people accepted it, showed newspaper articles and everything, and they buried him. They gave him a funeral and buried him and put a headstone up. And then when MUFON wanted to investigate it, and they notified the people, and the grave was untouched, they'd seen the grave, they made an application with the city to exhume the body.
They wanted to study the aliens.
Right. The next day, it had been
exhumed. It was gone. The aliens come and got it, the headstone and everything.
Well, I don't think the aliens did it. It's the government that's covering it.
Oh, you think
up.
The government did
it? Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't the aliens that did it. And 99% of all the cover-up, it isn't by aliens.
Well, I thought completely different than you. I didn't even think government. I thought the aliens come and got it.
Well, if you watch the theme of the whole program, it wasn't the aliens that came and got it. And for the record, folks, I don't believe the aliens are aliens from another planet. I believe it's interdimensional. I believe that it's all. I believe some of the sightings are actual good angel sightings, but I believe most of them are bad angel, you know, fallen angels or whatever. I don't believe that it's a good thing. But the point is that so it's the government covering up because the government does not want you to know. And you'd have to go and listen to all those Hangar One programs. But there's a lot.
They're really good. Go check them out.
But here's my point. These things are more broad than people can even imagine. You've got to watch something like that to find out. No, I'm not asking you to believe in aliens, but I'm telling you it's on a spiritual level. But like right now, there's so many theories pouring in. Is right now, there's a huge spike in the snake-like objects. And I don't know if you've ever seen them, Mom, but these snake-like objects are in the sky, and they're seeing them all over the place. They look like this, but then they bend and twist.
Oh, yeah.
They're like a, well, you know, they're like one of those noodles you see people play in the pool with.
Yeah, swimming noodles.
Those noodles, and you can bend them all different ways. That's what these things do, and so they're incredible. But the point is this is something else that's stepping up, and I also believe it's spiritual, but I also believe something's going to come out about it pretty soon. And so now moving off of the alien thing, let's move into this. Last week, Carl Gallups and I, we talked about that book. And you know, I pointed it out to you, right? The book that's coming out that tells kids how to summon demons.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
It's just really incredible. But then I came across this article that the Exorcist, which exorcisms are up worldwide, they are critical, and they're warning it about it. It said, you know, the
book invites children to summon demons as a way of dealing with unpleasant problems such as chores, homework, and getting rid of bullies. Summoning demons has never been so fun, it proposes. Really?
That's what's in the book. It tells you, and so this book is published by Kayoma Press. And they're trying to get children into summoning up demons. And it even says, teaching them, and it inspires the readers to create demons of their own.
The author presents the calling up of demons as something ordinary and recommendable, says AIE President Father Francisco Bartomori. Anyway, inviting children them to ally themselves with them to take advantage of them.
Right, and so it's coercing children into making deals with demons. He goes on to say,
thus the children's reproduced
symbols
very similar to those featured in the Grimoire's manuals of magic spells that teach with
meticulous
details the procedures necessary to contact evil spirits, he said. According to Father Beaumont, the book forms part of a broader trend to purpose Satanism as a normal alternative to other religions, deserving of the same respect and freedoms. Really? Teaching children to summon demons is like suggesting they get help from a criminal, Monte suggests, while warning that such an activity can damage a child morally, psychologically, and spiritually. You don't mess around with demons. Whoever invites a child to summon a demon is like a person who puts a grenade in their hand to play with. Sooner or later, the child will pull the pin and the bomb will explode in their hands. Amen to that.
Well, yeah, and so that's just like anything. You mess around. It was like that. That's exactly the scenario, so to speak. I talked about it with Carl about a little bit about the kid, you know, the 12-year-old that we cast a demon out of, right? And the whole point of why I bring that up is that the stepdad had been playing with black magic.
Right.
And he said, and when he admitted to all the stuff, he said, but nothing ever happened when I did it. But something did happen.
Right.
The 12-year-old stepson was possessed with a demon and wanted to murder him and his mother.
Yeah, and it blew up in their face. He was trying to kill them both.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, well, it's really terrible out there, but now I'm going to talk about something else. First off, I'm going to talk about you a minute and all women. First off, folks, my 34th anniversary is coming up. When is that again?
The 23rd.
The 23rd. I guess that comes same day every year, don't it?
No, it's the 23rd every other year.
Every other year.
It's the 23rd. The 23rd is the 23rd, Philly.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. But, folks, I just want you to – we at the Mission Church, we bless women every week. And I want to give these people this proverb, and I want to explain a little bit about it. Your Heavenly Father, give me the right understanding to give the people in Yeshua's name. Proverbs 31:10-31 is where I'm going to read. And it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he can have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and working willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candles goeth out not by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold to the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, and yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed in scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is in silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in times to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of her idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellent them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own work praise her in the gates. Now I'm going to go back over this, and I want to explain some of this. Okay, it goes, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Sure, for all the wonderful things that you do for everybody in the family, if you ask anybody in the family, you're priceless. Everybody in our family, and it just goes, if something happened to mom and she wasn't here, everybody's going to be lost because you do so much for us. And so we trust in you. We trust in you. It says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. I do trust you. I try to ask you and include you in all things because your word's important. And I hate that thing that, oh boy, you know, here comes an I told you so. So I'd rather listen. But, so this is about a godly woman, which you are. And it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I can trust in you. I know that you're not going to willingly do anything to hurt me or anybody in the family. It says she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. So you work hard to make sure everybody has everything and to make sure food is on the table and that we have what we need. It says she rises up yet while it's night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Again, making sure everybody else's need is taken care of before yourself. You do that all the time. And sometimes it just really breaks my heart.
Family and non-family.
Well, we're talking about family. We're talking about people at the church also, the Mission Church, which we treat as family. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. And her candle doesn't go out by night. You ask me how the electric's on. My candle is electric. How do I know it's on? Because my wife has made sure the bill was paid, that it was done in a timely manner. And it was done. I joke about it with people all the time. I say, ask me how my electric works. and say by turning on a switch, everything else you have to ask my wife.
Not easy most of the time.
Yeah, I know. We're everything goes in. We're joined with the ministry. Everything, we work for the Father 24 hours. You know, the only time we get a break is on the Sabbath.
I just really am thankful that my mother taught me the concept of borrow from Paul to pay Peter and pay Paul back and all that, because I do it all the time.
Well, that's the big thing, is paying Paul back.
Right. Yeah. You got to pay back, because if you don't pay back, it's not there next time.
She lays her hand to the spindle. Again, that's making sure everybody has everything. She stretches out her hand to the poor. To the poor, yeah, absolutely. She reaches forth her hands to the needy. Well, of course you do. And it isn't just the needy and stuff that's at the Mission Church. I know the other needy people. I know somebody here in Florence that you would say, well, I'm taking those clothes to such and such over on the next street or whatever. You share everything. You try to make sure everybody, if you hear about it, your heart's broken. And so just don't tell my wife, because you know she's going to be in agony over it. She's not as afraid of snow for her household or clothing scarlet. Whether it's making sure somebody in our family has a coat, you try to make sure everybody's warm, and you make sure that we are. You don't want us to be cold. And her husband is known in the gates. The only way that I can do the things that I do is because I have you to do all those other things that keeps me alive and keeps our family going, which frees me up to do the ministry work, which you have a part in, of course, also. But without you in it, it would be impossible to do the things. I don't know how to get done. Anyway, she maketh fine linen and sells it, and girdles herself under the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she'll rejoice in time to come. You'll rejoice into the kingdom. That's the time to come. That's when you'll rejoice, because right now you're emotional. And one thing that I found out about you, why your prayers are so strong, is because your prayers of a woman, a godly woman, comes from the heart. And your emotion makes that connection with the Father, and he listens. And that's a lot of us men have that hard time of making that emotional prayer. But your prayers are heartfelt and emotional, and so they count. I've seen people healed by your prayers and by laying hands on them, and so many things. I see your prayers work, and I know that it's because the emotion that you put in it. You stress and anxiety over everybody else to your own almost destruction sometimes, but good comes of it, and you can't steer you away from it, because that's who you are, and that's what you do. You do that, and the only kind of reward you could possibly, that would be worthy of the worth that you are, is the reward that the Lord will give you when he returns. Anyway, she looks as well to the ways of her household, and she needs not the bread of idleness. You're always making sure everything's done. You ever got it, you know? You're always making sure everything's done. Her children will rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and praises her. I am praising you. And again, the children, it's like I go over and see the grandchildren, my son's kids, and so I go in, usually they go, well, where's grandma? Well, God, what am I? A lump of coal? But they love me too, but they miss you so much, because why? You're blessed. You bless the children, and you bless our family. Where's mom at? I hear that so much. Where's mom at? Where's Sister Linda at? Okay, well, I'm a lump of coal. I don't know where, you know. Anyway, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You're a beautiful woman, and you don't wear a lot of makeup. You don't wear makeup. Your beauty, you have beauty without makeup. You have no need of makeup because you're so beautiful. But, and that's a blessing from the Father, because I've looked at your sisters that are your age, or, you know, and they're older than you.
No, I'm older than all of them, and they're all right. Completely white-haired. I still have my color. I have a few gray hairs in there that are streaking, but, yeah, they don't have any other color but white. They're all gray-haired. That's like my baby sister. She's only, I don't know, she's about 20 years younger than me. I don't know, but the last time I was at the food bank, she was in there. talking about how old woman I was. I said, yeah, look in the mirror. Who's got all the white hair? Look at this beautiful hair, baby. Never been dyed or anything. I said, you better watch what you're talking about.
Yeah.
She says, oh, shut up, Linda.
Yeah.
That was Gina.
Yeah, of course it was. And that's your younger sister.
Yeah, that's my younger sister.
But the point is that, but you're also your beauty that comes from within. You don't need all of those fancy things and everything. And
I've always been cheap.
I know. You used to always tell me you was a cheap date.
I've always been cheap.
But anyway.
Don't take much to please me. I just want everybody to be happy.
Right. And
if everybody else ain't happy, then usually mama ain't happy.
That,
I used to say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But for me, it's the other way around. If everybody ain't happy, then mama ain't happy.
Yeah, and the most, you told me one time, and I don't know if it was on the radio or what, but you, I think it was, you said that the comment that came out of you, you said it was the most blessed thing was being able to give to others and not for yourself, but you said it, that was the most blessed thing was to be able to give and not receive. And so that's a blessing. That's how, folks, that's how a godly woman should be, and my wife is one. And so I just wanted to tell you thanks. You know, I'm starting to ball, but the point is I appreciate you. Maybe I don't show it all the time, but I try to. But I appreciate you, and I appreciate our life together. And so coming up to our, what was that,
34? 34th for the second year, because we did 34 last year, but it was 33, and we did 33 the year before, which was 32. And so I don't know, but we're doing 34, which is 34 this year.
Okay, and that'll be this week.
My goodness,
the 23rd. So, thank you for all the blessings of the years, and you know that was
34 years, 7 kids, 13 grandkids, and 2 grandkids that we know of. We've never met, but my daughter told me we had them, so I believe her.
Yeah, amen. And that's not counting all the people that
that's all blood. That's not counting.
Right.
Anybody, if you want to count everybody that wants to call us grandma and claim that they're our grandkids, we don't have a number.
Yeah, and how many say call us mom and dad at the mission church? And see, that is what we do, folks. Mm-hmm. We treat the people at the mission church like family. Sometimes family has to be corrected and whatever, but we try to make, that's how we try to care for the people, like family. And whether it's giving out medications or, now that's a real blessing. We're going to be able to give them gloves. They've been crying for gloves, but I just haven't had any money to get them, and they just hadn't, nobody had sent them. But now we've got a blessing today. So
the same ones every year, and these are the same ones. So
yeah,
I want to get the same ones because the people really like them. They're really good gloves. They're really heavy-duty gloves. Keep your hands warm. And
yeah, yeah.
They're not cheap gloves. They're really good gloves.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. So we're going to be getting them those. But, you know, folks, if you want to help, we do really still need your help. Well, we got a blessing for that. Oh, and I got a call today. It was a call. And I called, it was a call. I read the message, and I called him back. And a girl by, I think her name's Michelle, is going to be bringing by. She was going to bring them by this Friday, but she wasn't ready. And she said, well, Tuesday. I said, well, I won't be open Tuesday, because we trade Tuesday for Wednesday, because, you know, everybody, most of you folks know that everything's closed on December 25th. Well, the homeless hang out in stores and so on, and it's still part of Hanukkah, whatever, but it doesn't matter. We try to do when other people are closed and not, you know, during the winter time, when they're closed, we open. And
oh, we're going to have plenty of desserts. I know that, because not only will I pick up donuts the 24th, my wonderful blessing of a sister-in-law got us 18 wonderful pumpkin pies for the 25th. So
yeah. Amen.
I don't know if we should say where she got them, but yeah.
No, we should never say
no,
where.
No, she got us a donation of 18 pumpkin pies. So
yeah, amen.
I got to get
some whipped cream, and so
yeah.
We haven't decided what we're going to do about dinner, but somebody has provided for the dinner.
Well, I had planned on making deer meat stew, but I guess I'm not making that now.
Right. Well, and that's what we do. People bless. We pass things on to the people. He wants to pass on the meal, and so we'll figure out something. I don't know what we're going to do. It's too involved to do. It doesn't matter. We will give them. They will get a really good meal. But this girl, anyway, because we weren't going to be open Tuesday, whatever. She's coming by on the 25th to bring some warm clothes and some things for the poor on that day. So that's somebody in Wichita. So that's a blessing to hear from people out of Wichita. And so thank you, Wichita. We really do appreciate it. I know most of the time our podcast listeners, the most of them are over there in Wichita, but it's a lot of programs. And so the point is that you folks in Wichita, I appreciate you listening, but if I haven't met you, come by and drop by and at least say hi. I know the neighborhood is so very dangerous, and it really, really is. And when I bring it up to people, yeah, it really is, because we're right there. I was explaining it to this guy, which I got a big donation. I went to the gym the other day and got a big donation. I won't say from whom, of course. And he blessed me with a real big donation. He was going to drop by, and I said, well, where are you at? And I said, well, 900 South Broadway. He said, was that south? And I said, yeah, it's two blocks south of Cog. And he said, what? And I said, yeah, you know, we're all the, he said, prostitutes and drug
right
pushers
on, right
and everything
corner,
is.
Yeah.
And he said, I said, yeah. And he said, you're right in the middle of them.
Yeah, they used to call it Prostitute Alley right there by the Pearl Motel, and that's right across the street.
Yeah, so instead of bringing by the donation, he decided
went
to
back
do it.
Out and came back in and gave it to you. You didn't want to come there, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But and that's the way that it is. And so, you know, Messiah's Branch, folks, is just that we're just a home church with a building. The church, the building is to take care of the poor and the homeless, and we just try to do the best that we can for people. We just try to do the best that we can because the Father led us to do this. Anyway, we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, all of us, folks, because we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps.
Come from the heart.
Yeah. What do you mean, come from the heart? I haven't even asked the question yet.
Oh, what was the I was spacing out, and I was thinking about what we were going to make. And anyway, I was thinking about maybe getting fried chicken, but okay.
But
all donations, no matter what size, helps. The Father noticed that all donations come from the heart.
Yeah. If you do a donation because you have to, you're not going to get a blessing from it.
Right.
But the donation that comes from the heart, that's heartfelt.
And if you're
and
just giving 10%, that's not a donation. That's the Lord's money already.
Yeah, but you will be blessed. But you still will be blessed because you're not stealing the Father's
money. Right.
So it is still a big blessing for you to do that.
Right.
Because if you don't, then you're robbing God.
Right.
And
but the real blessings comes when you do over and above and do from your heart.
That's not required. And that's a free will offering. But
that's what I was trying to think of, yeah.
The Father even points it out in Malachi. He says, you rob me in tithes and offerings.
Right.
See, and that explains there's two different ones. In tithes, people say, well, that's just a Sinai covenant. No, if you go back and read your Torah, they talk about tithes all the time. 10% always goes to the Father. Well, we're going to have to get out of here. If you don't wish to help the poor, consider radio airtime. It's not free. Where can they donate?
You can donate online, over the phone, or by mail in a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Right. Okay. Well, folks, tune in next week. We're going to have some guests with a good guest. We're going to have another good guest today in an hour from now. But the point is, I'm not putting on anybody real big. Steve Henderson's going to be on with me. I'm not sure what he's going to talk about, but I've got a lot of really good guests that come out with some new books from Skywatch International. I've got about five programs to do with those folks. But I'm not booking any of them until after the first year because our listeners go down this time of the year. They pick back up in January.
I want to throw out there right real quick that we need coats. We usually have somebody do a coat drive for us. Nobody showed up with any coats, and I've had people ask for coats left and right, and there is no coats at the church. Actually, I hardly have any clothes. So clothing and coats, warm stuff.
Okay, say goodbye. I got to get
goodbye,
out of here.
Goodbye, Shalom.
Folks, we must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repenting sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the word of the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you'd bless and keep them, and your face would shine upon them, and you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.